over the centuries that hinders the building up of the body.
Amen.
Lord, we're so thankful we have you as the oracle.
Amen.
Your living is, your speaking is still so living,
Amen.
So fresh among us.
Amen.
Lord, we admit we see so little of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We really need your blessing.
Amen.
Lord, oh, do strengthen our spirit.
Amen.
That we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Wouldn't approach this like we already know something.
Amen.
Lord, we admit we know nothing.
Amen.
We look to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be here, isn't it?
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, the message we're getting into was from the Chinese-speaking New Year's conference. And it follows the Thanksgiving Day conference, which was titled The Body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ. And probably most of us are in that morning revival right now. It's been very good.
Amen.
Amen.
The title of this one is Living in the Reality of the Body of Christ.
Amen.
By keeping the principles of the body.
Amen.
So this is a little higher, Gary, than what we've been getting into, believe it or not. It is, and I'm a little fearful about having to try to share something about it. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, and then the title of tonight's message is The Reality of the Body of Christ. How about all the brothers stand up and read the title of the message tonight? The general subject and the message, okay? Living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles of the body of Christ. Reality of the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you, brothers. How about sisters stand up and do the same thing? Amen. Now look at the person, the saint next to you, and repeat the same thing again. Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, where to begin? If you're a Christian, I'm sure you've heard the term the body of Christ, right? I don't think anyone in this room has never heard that term. But, you know, it wasn't really that long ago where that was not very common among Christians. I don't know church history very well, but I know within the last couple hundred years, this was not very known. Maybe it was in church, some church doctrine, but it was not something commonly used among believers, this phrase, the body of Christ. The thought was not even there. It was mainly just the individual Christian experience that was focused on. But in 1922, Brother Watchman Nee was used by the Lord to recover the matter of the church life, right? He saw that Christians should be living in order to have a proper kind of Christian life, you needed to have a proper church life.
Amen.
And that church life, he saw by looking into the Word, was in the locality that the believers lived in. So the locality, the city they lived in, was the boundary of and the ground on which they met, right? So there's just was one church in each city. That became the ground for them to meet upon. And that is precious ground of oneness, right? So when he released that, it was well accepted among a lot of believers in China, so they met as the churches there. Then, through the 30s, Brother Neem began to speak more. He saw more about the body of Christ. This was actually after going to England and seeing the division among the believers there. And so he was burdened to go back to the Word, look at this a little deeper, and the Lord showed him the matter of the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, this was a precious thing.
Amen.
Amen. So then, brother Witness Lee, who was meeting and serving with him at the time, also picked up this matter of the body of Christ. There was a lot of resistance to this revelation of the body of Christ. Many believers picked up the matter of the church life, but when it came to the body life, there was a real struggle with this matter. And there was a lot of opposition. He was even put out of his ministry for a while. But Brother Slee picked this matter up, and in the 40s, when the political situation changed in China and the Japanese came in and took over, then Brother stayed behind in China, and he sent Brother Lee to Taiwan to take this matter there. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is a real inward struggle.
Amen.
So, as he began to speak about the body of Christ, there was a lot of resistance, but he didn't give up. He just continued to speak about the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then, in the 60s, when Brother Lee came to the United States, he began to speak to the saints here in the United States about the experience of Christ as life. And so he opened up the way to for believers to learn how to experience Christ as life through the exercise of their spirit. He released some messages titled The All-Inclusive Christ, which was a big help to the believers.
Amen.
So, the more he spoke, the more the believers enjoyed. And then the church life also began to flourish here in the United States.
Amen.
In 1962, I think it was, he released some messages in Los Angeles that became The Economy of God.
Hallelujah.
That's a classic book. If you've never read it, you should read The Economy of God. Then, in the 80s, Brother Lee expounded more on this matter of the economy of God from the angle of the economy of God is for producing the organic body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, the more he spoke about this, the clearer it became that God's eternal economy, his desire that's been in his heart for ages, is to have a counterpart that matches him. And that this is accomplished through the dispensing of the processed triune God into the tripartite man.
Hallelujah.
So in order for this to happen, God had to become a man, right? And as a man, he lived the perfect human life. This human life, though, was not just a life of morality, but it was a life that lived God. God was living himself in this man. The Lord Jesus constantly denied himself. Even though he was a perfect, sinless man with perfect virtues, he did not live the human life as the source of his human living.
Amen.
But he allowed God as the reality in his being to be lived out.
Amen.
God's divine attributes were expressed through his virtues.
Amen.
So, this human living that had God as its reality, went to the cross and was crucified to become the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Then this life-giving spirit became what's known as the spirit of reality.
Amen.
This spirit of reality is now inside of us.
Amen.
Right? And we today are his body.
Amen.
We are his organism.
Amen.
So then, in the 1990s, Brother Lee began to speak about the vital groups. And he said that the vital groups was the way that this body of Christ could be built up and to be consummated. He also began to speak that the local churches, as wonderful as they are, and they're our top enjoyment in our human life, they're just a procedure They're not the goal. They're the procedure that the body of Christ could come into existence,
Amen.
To be built up and to be consummated as a new Jerusalem.
Amen.
So he began to speak that this would come about by the joining of God as life to us, the mingling of the divine nature with the human nature. And he took it a step further and talked about incorporation. The incorporation of a person. That God, as the person, was incorporating himself into his believers.
Amen.
This became what he called the high peak of the divine revelation.
Amen.
And that this body of Christ... Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Then he began to speak. In 1994, he became sick for, I think, 3 months. And then during that time, he was looking to have him do the emphasis of his ministry. And then this is when the Lord revealed to him, and the Brother Lee shocked a lot of us by saying, God became man so that man could become God. That's still kind of a shocker.
Amen.
When you say that, right?
Amen.
But as our brother, a wonderful minister, he just laid it out so clear to us that we're made God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Once you let the book, what the whole Bible, suddenly everything starts making sense. I mean, these phrases that Christians are using in a common way, like, sons of God, right? We're sons of God, right? Well, how could you be a son of God if you're not God in life and in nature?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right? I have a daughter, and guess what? She's a human being. Right?
Amen.
Why is that? Because she has my life and nature. She's a human being. Right? She was beget by me. So, she's a human being. Then, another term, the body of Christ. This is the body of Dan, right? Is my body different in its nature than the head? No, of course not. It's human in life and nature. So, the body of Christ is an organism that contains the life of God, the nature of God, even the person of God.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, this term, the body of Christ, I have a really strong burden that it wouldn't just be a common term to us.
Right.
And that we think, well, we already know this. And then it becomes a veil to us. We need to be unveiled to hear something new and something living and get the vision and the revelation of what the body of Christ is. You know, and of course, also, according to our growth in life and nature, our growth in life, we see different. Like, if Derek was to go out on the street and ask someone, could you describe Dan Quigley to me? Then they would say, I didn't know there was a Dan Quigley. Right? Ask the believers about about the body of Christ, they would say, I didn't know there was a body of Christ. Right? If I asked this brother to give a description of me, he doesn't know me, he would give a description probably of my outward appearance. Right? My granddaughter to describe me, she would describe me in a totally different way. Right? She would think she thinks I'm really something. She's only 2.5 years old. If you ask Rob to give a description of I believe it would be beyond a physical description. Right? We are pretty close brothers. He knows me more than probably the majority of the saints. If you ask my wife, about me. She could tell you things that he doesn't know about me. Right? And if you asked a psychologist to give a description of me, he would probably describe me in a way that my wife would not describe me. Right? If you asked a doctor to give a description of me, he would probably touch intrinsic matter. Right? Touch something of the human life in his description of me. He probably wouldn't even say anything about my psychological being. So, the body of Christ is seen, not just in an outward way, right? Maybe up to this point we've seen the body of Christ just mainly in the aspect of what the church is. The church is the body of Christ, right? The church is just a framework. The body is a framework. Real life. My person's just superficial. One day it will die. But my soul, my spirit, even say my spirit is my reality. It's my real person. Well, the church is the body of Christ. But the church is where you have the physical meetings, you have services. We come together as the church. But the church, in order to be the body of Christ, has to have a reality to it. Right? It has to have a life. If my body lost the human life, it's just a carcass. It's just a corpse. It's a being, but it's a dead human being. So, the church, as the body of Christ, has to have a reality. So now here's the real big problem I have today, is trying to explain what is reality. I can't even explain the human life, right? They're still discovering what is the human life. As a matter of fact, they're still discovering so many things in the physical realm, right? In the universe. So how can we describe reality? I'm at a loss, Gary. Reality's reality. God is reality. We can only use what the Bible says. He said, when he was telling the disciples that he was going to built to him, that he was becoming the spirit of reality, then he says, you know where I'm going. And then Thomas, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And then he said, I am the way. And then what did he say, Gary? I am the life. I am the reality. So according to the Bible, reality is Christ. Right? He's the only real thing. He is the reality. I've been thinking for days now, how can I just describe reality? And the problem is that we think the physical some people say they can't believe in God because they can't see him. Right? They can't touch him. They think it's not real because you can't see him, right? It's like this table. I can touch it. I can see it. We're just so bound up by our five senses. You know, if we could hear something, and then we can see something, and then get closer to it and touch it, or smell it, and taste it, then we think that's real. It's not real. It's not reality. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's imaginary. I'm not crazy. But, brother, it's not real. It's not real. You know why I can say that? Because it's created. You know, at one time in eternity past, only God existed. He has always been. He is reality. He is the only real thing in the universe. This thing right here seems like it's real. But you know what? I bet you if you come here in 1,000 years, it won't be here.
Amen.
It will just return back to the dust.
Amen.
Right? So the physical realm is not reality. We really see that. We get fooled by the things that we can see and touch. So let's don't get fooled into thinking we know what the reality of the body of Christ is yet. We need to be open to the Lord to see this. Oh, praise the Lord. So, point one says, highest peak of God's economy is the reality of the body of Christ. So how could the body of Christ be real? It must have God as its content, right? That's why I was trying to help us to see that only God is reality. So God, who is reality, was living in the man Jesus. So that means he now is reality, right? And his human living became a reality. God expressed through his human living became reality. Then, this man who was reality became spirit. The Bible calls the spirit of reality. Now that the spirit of reality is in us, now the body of Christ is reality. Right? I got some verses I'm going to read. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So this verse shows us that we are the body of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Colossians 2:19 says, "And not holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God."
Amen.
The growth of God issues in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the growth of God. Point two, the reality of the body of Christ is the spirit of reality wrought into us and constituted into our being. So now we have become reality. All right. I still can't get my head around this. We're infinite, no, I'm sorry, finite, created beings containing the infinite God.
Amen.
The infinite God became finite. Can you believe that, Albert?
Hard.
It defies logic. It defies the law of physics.
Amen.
How could an infinite God become finite man? Then he came into us to become the body of Christ, which today is now his reality.
Amen.
John 14:17 says, "Even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him,"
amen,
"because he abides with you and shall be in you."
Amen.
John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of reality, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify concerning me." Listen to this verse. John 16:13, "But when he, the spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality."
Amen.
You know, I think in John chapter 14, the Lord talks about the Father's house. And then in John chapter 15, it's about the vine. You are the branches, I am the vine. And then in chapter 16, after he reveals to the disciples that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, I'm going away, I'm going to the Father, we'll prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be. Then Thomas speaks up, well, I don't know the way. And then eventually the Lord talks about that. He talks about a woman giving birth, how she suffers, but after the child comes, she forgets her suffering. Then he reveals that he's talking about he's going to become the one new man through his... That's what he's revealing there with that child. It's the one new man being born in resurrection. So here where he's talking about leading us into all the reality, he's revealing that he's leading us to become the house of God.
Hallelujah.
The household of God as God's reality. Then he's leading us to become this vine organism that is both God and man. God mingle with man and man mingle with God. So this is what the Spirit is doing, is leading us and guiding us into the reality. And then also he's leading us into becoming the one new man. By bringing the reality of God into us, he's not revealing things to us in the way of teachings, in the way of knowledge. He's leading us into the reality by mingling himself with us. Ephesians 3:16 through 21, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Christ is making his home in our hearts, saints.
Amen.
This Christ is making his home in our hearts is reality.
Right.
He's making us the fullness of God.
Amen.
The body of Christ is the fullness of God.
Amen.
Just like my body is the fullness of Dan Quigley. Without my body, I would have no fullness, right?
Amen.
Again, it's hard to grasp these things. God needs us to be his fullness.
Amen.
Goodness. Yeah, goodness.
Amen.
In himself, God needs nothing. But in his economy,
hallelujah,
he has decided, according to his desire, that he wants a counterpart. And this counterpart is his body. So if he doesn't have us, he has no fullness. Right? He's dispensed himself into it, and he's increasing in us at the point that we become his fullness. Let's see. I might skip a lot of verses here. Point three. The reality of the body of Christ is the reality in Jesus.
Amen.
The reality of the body of Christ is the reality in Jesus. This is out of Ephesians 4:21. The reality in Jesus is the actual condition